Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Speaking of podcasts, today's episode is brought to you by the Waterline Podcast. What's that? Well, that's what I thought when I first heard the name of that podcast, but that's why it's great to always pick up something new and learn about something that you didn't know about. The Waterline Podcast is a new podcast created to communicate the many facets of water. That's right. If you're looking to learn and explore about an economic, political, social, behavioral, technological, and environmental awareness of water around the globe, the Waterline Podcast episodes cover them all. When I started listening to it, I became very intrigued because, first of all, I didn't know that just water could be discussed at such great length and in great detail. And this podcast, they bring the latest scientific advances and technological solutions while at the same time exploring the economic models and identifying all the players in the global effort to secure water sources, create efficient water usage, and make water just safer for everyone. I'm sure you've heard about all these, the water concerns around the globe. Shit, I had a buddy post on Facebook about the California water shortage. I usually don't click on the stuff he posts because he's kind of a mess. You know, everyone knows that one person. You're like, dude, I'm not going to you for current events. I saw you puke in your own car while you were driving it last week, and you're a dad. Shout out to my friend Kevin from Seattle. But this podcast really captures a lot of the stuff that you don't think about, that you should think about, and that once you think about and listen to, you just become smarter. Search Waterline Podcast on iTunes or in your Android podcast app and listen to their episodes. Their new podcast, Water and Peace, is one of my favorite episodes because, it discusses the deadly conflicts worldwide that water has ignited, like in the Syrian Civil War, which I didn't even fucking know was a thing, again, until I listened to this podcast. So don't be a dumb. Download the Waterline Podcast right now and start being a smarter person.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
All right.
Now, and then you just came from Disneyland?
Yes. Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice segue, yeah. Brad.
Are we on?
It's not like I would have answered you differently.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not like you.
Hey, save that. That was a pre-podcast story.
Yeah. No, I was at Disneyland with my friend Mike Carlson.
Yeah.
Who was in... my movie Handsome. He's a funny writer.
Now streaming on Netflix.
Starring Adam Ray, too.
Adam Ray. Well, I mean, great. No. But I also brought with me tonight, and he's a little bit of shy.
Yeah.
Mr. Jimmy Buffett.
Wow.
Which is a first. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, this is crazy because, look, we're all Jimmy Buffett fans.
Everyone.
I think if you have a heart and you're alive and you get up in the morning out of a bed or a box or something, you've heard of Buffett, you like Buffett.
Well, take a step back. You're getting up out of a box. By the way, I think if you're getting up out of a box, you maybe didn't hear of Jimmy Buffett. You know nothing of anything, and you can't function as a human. I mean, a box. You talking about a homeless person? What's wrong with you?
Some people have real bad sciatica, and they like
they sleep. Don't stay in a box. They'll sleep on the floor. What do they need a box for? What are they, a puppy?
The box might be on the floor, and they're in such bad shape.
Well, so he wants to keep quiet, but we'll ask him questions.
Well, I mean, because it's not too often that we get to have not one but two celebrities here on the podcast. So the fact that
why you're considering me a celebrity?
Adam.
I think I'm a man of somewhat comedic success.
Yeah.
But I would never refer to myself as a celebrity. A celebrity, I think, is obviously like...
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close is an actress. But
not a celebrity.
A celebrity is someone who it's about fame,
Okay.
And That's never about.
So for you, it's about the work and the craft.
Well,
and...
not stop with the work. By the way, it's all good. I don't take my look. I don't take myself seriously, sure. But I take myself seriously enough as a human being not to refer to myself as a celebrity.
Now, can I, Jimmy Buffett? Do you consider yourself a celebrity?
Oh hell yeah! Of course I am. It's just it goes me, then Glenn Close.
I mean, I really can't argue with that logic.
That is, if I was stranded on a deserted island, that would probably be my three people.
I mean, that's the second album.
Island, yeah, Jimmy Buffett's the guy.
He's probably there island. Playing his show.
Yes, yes.
Jimmy,
yes.
What do you go to many two-bedroom apartments in Hollywood these days, or is this kind of a big deal for you?
I haven't been in an apartment since 1972. I'm disgusted.
You're angering Jimmy Buffett, Adam.
Well, leave I try. Alone.
I mean, yeah. I have candles. I even this was not intentional, but it's Aloha coconut chapstick. Oh. And let's be honest, if there was a Buffett, you know, lip balm.
Do you have any deals with chapstick? You have deals with everyone.
I'm my own chapstick.
What's it called?
It's called a Margaritaville chapstick.
You know, I mean, you got something that works.
Yeah.
Keep using
real chapstick.
You got a picture of a marlin on it.
Now, when you and Jimmy Buffett are just walking around Disneyland, what like I don't know what you got like what ride do you hit first?
We go on the what's the form we went on to in California? Not California Adventure, but the one where you float above the world.
We were soaring all over the world.
Soaring all over the world.
Yeah.
That's where I went on first. I love that one. Jimmy loves it too. You like that one?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Do any of the characters freak you out? Because I know
there's no characters on that ride.
But in Disneyland in general.
Oh.
When you're walking amongst the park.
Yeah.
The queen kind of weirded me out today.
Yeah, she was weird.
Yeah, from Snow White, she walked around.
Oh, but, well, she's evil.
By the way, Jimmy, something bothered you. Who did you see together that you were unnerved by? What two characters were walking together?
Oh, yeah. Peter Pan and Captain Hook were walking, like, basically hand in hand with each other. I mean, those guys are enemies.
Yeah, that
what
kind of...
What the hell?
Yeah, he was very upset.
I didn't care for it.
I didn't care for the new friendship.
Yeah, I don't like it. I want enemies to stay enemies.
Yeah.
Like me and Chili's and me and Fridays. You ain't going to see me in one of those restaurants.
What do you got against TGI Fridays?
I mean, he owns Margaritaville.
Restaurant.
Right, I know that.
Yeah, they're bad.
Wow. Now, I mean, but I could... What do you think is the longest actual time you could ride around with Jimmy Buffett? Because this, you know a lot of people
around.
I like to hang with and just...
We keep it chill.
Yeah.
Now, do you do the full... Now, you say you're not a celebrity, but do you do the full celebrity thing when you go to Disneyland? Do you get the...
tour?
Do you,
Yeah. Well, of course, I get the guide. Yeah.
Okay.
In line. No, yeah, but look, I'm on. I'm in a lot of Pixar movies.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to do that.
You're about to do another one.
Yeah, Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4 at some point I'll record. But... I'm also on the Goldbergs, which is ABC, which is owned by Disney.
Come on.
So I call up ABC. I say, I'm going on Monday. May I have a guide, please? And they give me a guide.
Fuck.
And that's the guide we had today, his name was Jack, and he knew everything about Disneyland. It was great.
Sparrow?
I loved it. No.
All right. But that would have been real cool. Very Disney of them.
No, it would not been a real cool. I would have been upset.
You wouldn't have liked the guy being like, Mr. Garland, I'm a big fan of the Goldbergs.
Yeah,
would you like to ride the Mad Hatter?
No,
like,
I would not have liked that.
Just drop the fourth wall. Your name's Jeff.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I love going to Disneyland. It's delightful.
Did you?
I needed a day off. I've been a bit,
Been working nonstop.
Yeah, it's a little much. You know, I'm about to start another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. But,
when's that starting?
Wait.
We start filming April 25th.
Is that public knowledge?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I'm excited because the last season was, like, just watching it, you always think when you have such an iconic show like that and it comes back from their season, you're like, oh. Can it top itself? And I really think you guys did.
It was
fantastic.
I love what we're gonna do this season.
Oh,
so
geez. Fuck. I mean, I know how pumped. I mean, David Steinberg was telling us when it was just getting. I think he had just received all the stories, and he was like, I don't know how Larry has strung together all of these to make it all flow. And So to hear you say that is pretty awesome.
No, it's fantastic.
What can you? Nothing.
I can say. Yeah. No, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Can you confirm or deny Glenn Close's?
Not in it.
Well, that's all I was looking for.
Hey, you know what? Breaking news here. By the way, you heard it here first.
There is at least one big movie star playing themselves in an episode, and it's so far my favorite episode of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett, who do you think it is?
Me?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Oh, shit.
Shit, so bummed.
Well, I mean, he's a huge fan, so obviously he'd want to be in it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
What was your... You could pull us a little bit closer to you.
No, it's got to pick up Buffett.
Keep it Buffett. All right, good. Yeah,
that's
right.
Why it's there.
All right. It picks up real well.
My voice. Come on, man. Yeah, I don't need help.
What was your favorite part about returning?
To Disneyland or the Curb?
To Curb, yeah.
Curb.
Because it had been, what, seven
Oh, last year.
Years?
No, it was just working with my friends.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't have to learn any lines. And I laugh all day. That's all we do. We take our jobs very serious.
We work hard.
But we have fun. We just laugh all day long. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it seems like you guys are just getting paid to hang out with your friends.
Well, kind of. Well, as long as one of them's a genius and he writes really cool stuff,
there you go.
Then you can, you know, just hang out all day.
But I got to come on.
Yeah, you were on last year. That's right.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I think we should bring that. I think we should bring that Uber driver back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think he should have his own
part of the season.
I wasn't able to be there because I filmed the Goldbergs at the same time as Curb last year. So when Adam did it, I was not there.
I was there the one day that when I just had to do the initial shot of me picking Larry up. That was on the same day of you guys shooting inside. So I came early just to watch you guys on set because I wanted to see the magic. And it's like, you really do take it seriously. As much as you're laughing, it's like after each take, you guys were conferring and discussing jokes and maybe like, well, maybe that again was fun. Let's go down that path. But not even saying like, say that exact thing again. It was keeping it so open to have it be different every time.
I try, unless I'm told by the director or Larry that we didn't get something in coverage, I try every take to do something different.
Yeah, just to just give them different options.
Yeah.
Also to make them, how much are you trying to make Larry laugh?
Never.
No.
No. And I don't break.
You don't?
I've broken one. Larry breaks a lot, but I only broke once in the history of the show, and that was the episode. It was called Officer Krupke.
Oh, yeah.
And in the episode.
Where Larry wears the women's underpants.
Women's underpants, yeah, because my wife discovers ladies' underpants in my
you
car.
You sick fuck, you're, Larry.
Yeah, he's you're like, Larry David, and you happen to enjoy wearing women's underwear. So Larry, when he drops his pants for the police officer, I wasn't, even though I knew it was coming, are you ever prepared for Larry and ladies' underwear?
Also, I mean, making the face and then saying that so convincingly.
Yeah. I'm also more terrified of you if you don't break in that scenario.
Right, and I was so, you know, so, but generally, you know, really funny things happen. I stay focused. I'm good.
Will you, you guys are all shooting. Well, you can't say anything about it.
What?
I was going to ask in L.A. again.
Yes, it's all in L.A. Yeah. I can say that.
That's the best, right?
Yeah, it's great.
And then are
love
you
love sleeping in my own bed. I love napping in my own bed more than sleeping in my own bed.
You big napper?
Oh, from way back.
He's an old school napper.
I did notice on the set of Handsome, you had a chair that was...
Yes, that was a zero gravity chair.
Yeah.
But yes, I like the napping, but I, speaking of Uber, I... You know, it's so funny. I said to, I was at, maybe you were coming by that night. I'm being serious.
Yeah.
But I remember, somehow I remember you going to perform that night, and I was just hanging around. I was going down at the Comedy Store. I was going down, being picked up by a friend of mine, and she said, I'm going to get cut an Uber or whatever. And I think it's going to be an Uber Black because that's what I'll even do a Lux on occasion. I'm rich. but it was an Uber Black.
Yeah. Jimmy Buffett, what do you do for an Uber?
What? I have my own brand Uber.
Uber Buffett.
Uber Buffett.
Margaritaville Uber.
By the way, if that was an option after Uber Lux, Uber Buffett.
Uber Buffett or Uber Margaritaville.
Yeah, done.
But anyhow, I went into an Uber X. And I just was telling Adam, you know, from the Comedy Store, that I will never go in an Uber X. And then one picks me up. I'm like, all right, what the hell? I'm just going down to the Roxy to see the English Beat, okay? And literally the driver, She made a mistake. I saw her making the mistake, and we got rear-ended. And I yelled no to stop her before she did her thing. And I didn't know we'd get rear-ended. So my back, when I filmed Handsome, the entire time I was in incredible back pain. Fuck. So I had a chair and a massage table with ice packs. And in between setups, when they were setting up the cameras and stuff, I'd be laying on my back.
Oh, wow.
With the ice.
So that wasn't just you being Diva Jeff Garlin. No, that was like...
Although when I'm at Curb and the Goldbergs, I have a zero gravity chair. And in between setups, I do nap. Because my back's better. But then it was all about putting the ice in there.
And it helped.
It helped immensely. But the movie, one of the things I'm really proud of Handsome is when you see me getting in and out of cars, it's really painful. But you see like a guy getting slowly in and out of a car. You never see that in a movie.
It's always so, very brisk.
Yeah. So.
How quickly can you shut down when you get in position for a nap? Like, are you an immediate passer-outer? Or do you have to like start dreaming of fun stuff?
I would say...
Do you dream of Buffett cruises? Or
For a nap, no more than a five-minute delay.
Jesus.
Wow,
and
you're a pro.
And I've gone down within 30 seconds.
Absolute pro.
Now...
I want that.
Yeah, and I can also have a cup of coffee, take a nap right away.
Is this the plot of the next Marvel movie?
By the way, one of the things I'll tell you, if you can do that, do it, because when you wake up, when you wake up from it, you don't feel groggy.
Oh, interesting. So the caffeine kicks in like while you're sleeping.
While you're sleeping, it's delightful.
Now Adam briefly touched upon that would be a good plot for a Marvel movie. You are a big comic book fan.
But not a Marvel or DC movie fan. Certain ones. Like, I loved Deadpool.
Okay.
I loved individual ones. Like, if you tell me one, I'll tell you. I dug it, didn't dig it.
Ant-Man?
Never even saw it. I had no desire.
Because he knows me. So it's like he doesn't have to see a movie about a man who's very, very small.
Yeah, but I think Ant-Man's smaller than you.
I could take him.
That's a movie I'd watch.
Yeah.
Brad versus Ant-Man?
Oh, without a doubt. First in line. Invite me to I usually don't go to premieres. I go to that premiere.
And I asked because, of course, the big phenomenon in the last few months has been Black Panther. Did you see that one?
I did. I thought it was good. Very good, even. I didn't think it was, like, great. Maybe people are like, you know, I was just like, what?
I can't handle overhype.
I was hyped to the hilt. But you got to admit, a movie with mostly black people being a gigantic moneymaker, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
But it was okay. It was good, you know.
Now, you say you're not DC or Marvel, so is there a certain...
I buy comic books from both.
Okay.
I buy mostly back issues now. I don't really like... I'm trying to think if there's a current book that I love. Like certain runs, people will do a run on Spider-Man or a run on Batman or whatever, where I'll go, I'll talk to the people at my comic book store, Earth 2 in Sherman Oaks.
Nice.
And
shout out.
Yeah, to Earth, the good folks at Earth 2. I go to other comic book stores. There's other nice ones, nice people. But that's my main one.
Are they quintessential, stereotypical comic book guys that work there?
No, it's mostly women that work there.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a guy who owns it. His name's Carr. But there's women who work there. And they're very helpful. I go, what run is really good now? Because I love story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Art is secondary to me. Like, you know, I used to like old artists. Like, I love Neil Adams. I love John Buscema. Like, I'm really into comic books. It's amazing I hate comic book movies for the most part.
Interesting.
Why? Because the stories are just...
No, I don't care. For example, Deadpool, I cared about the characters.
Yeah, me too.
Passionately.
Yeah.
What happened to him? What happened to his wife? I cared.
Yeah.
These movies, I don't care most of the time.
Well, because it's just so...
Black Panther, everyone could have died. And he essentially did. I didn't care.
Spoiler alert. If you're one of the two people
lives.
That didn't see it.
Yeah. But I'm saying...
Buffett, did you see Black Panther?
No.
All right, moving on.
Don't want to dive into why.
Yeah. It's not probably why you think, but nonetheless.
No. I like Aquaman.
You're more of a sea life superhero.
Which, by the way, is coming out. There's an Aquaman coming out.
No, yes, starring the man
that my wife has told me
that she would cheat on me with, like, in front of me. if it was her and Jason Momoa, she would not care. She would just be like...
And would you clap in rhythm as they fucked?
Pretty much. I'd be like, let's keep the timing going.
Yeah, what's the rhythm like? Yeah.
That was Momoa. He's got his own rhythm.
Women do dig that dude, I will say. Although I didn't even see the... Like, I didn't go see the Justice League movie.
Not me either.
Because it looked like crap.
Yeah.
And I saw Wonder Woman, liked it, didn't love it. You know, it was good, you know? But none of these, like Deadpool, I'm trying to think of another one that I was passionate about.
Yeah. The Wolverine movies? Hugh Jackman's got Logan. A nice edge to him.
By the way, he's really good. They're good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't hate those, but I've hated others.
Iron Man?
I like the first one.
Yeah.
They're all fine. Like, what did I hate?
What about...
Captain America, good. Yeah, great, you know.
Did you see Chef Guy? Have you seen the trailer for that?
Chef Guy?
It's about Chef Boyardee, and he learns how to...
By the way, you realize that's not... Why are you laughing, Brad?
Hey,
it's not funny. Don't
it's funny to me.
It's not even
don't
funny.
Joke about I a love, fictional Boyardee superhero
I love a good, no, I love a good Boyardee reference.
By the way, that was just not funny. Adam, I expect more from
Jeff,
you.
I wasn't trying to be.
Oh. Well, then by the
I use this podcast to pitch movies.
I love Adam so much. Adam is the best guy. And funny and good and thanks, delightful and handsome.
Well, thanks for...
Look at you.
Well, thanks for...
Look at you and Brad. The ladies must just finger themselves into the show.
I mean, that's why we had to stop doing live shows together, Jeff.
Right.
Yeah, it was just a problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing live shows, we just did a big one together.
The K-Rock thing.
Yeah, we did the Kevin and Bean April Fool's shows.
Yeah, yeah.
That was 6,000 people.
Yeah.
Was that the largest audience you've ever done stand-up
for? No, I've done for 10,000 and I hated it.
Wow.
And so...
Where was 10,000?
In San Jose, maybe? It was in San Francisco. The point being is that I didn't like it, and I really liked that theater. That was fun.
Microsoft Theater in downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah. Did you perform there before?
No. I'd been on stage. I was there for Emmys numerous times.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but, you know, I hate the Emmys.
Really?
Yeah.
Award shows in general?
I hate them. Passionately hate them.
Why is that?
Have you been to one?
Nope.
All right. Well, my friend, let me just tell you ahead of time, it's an honor to be nominated.
Sure.
It's great to win. Mm-hmm. I've won a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Golden Globe is pretty fun.
That's like where...
Drink.
That's a,
and
well, that's
it's movie
the one,
and TV people.
That's the most fun of all of them. But unless the host is like, I've been there when Shandling hosts.
Wow.
I've been there when Conan hosts. You know, it's great when you have a funny host. But, you know, if you have a... shit host.
So there's no fun like bathroom stories like me, Al Pacino, Glenn Close are all taking a shit.
By the way, that's true. Al Pacino, Glenn Close, and I were taking a shit in the same toilet. we did different angles. And it was a delightful time. Many good stories, which I promise I keep secret. I said, but I am going to tell everybody we shared a toilet. I said, okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You live here.
Yeah.
How do you deal with this room? Do you take the pictures down and the...
I'm not a fan of it. I tried to make this like a podcast.
No, it's an office. It's very much an office podcast room.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm in a thing. But if you live here, that's got to suck.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's...
You walk in here and you know...
I get oblivious. I mean, like, look, I could probably take some of this stuff down.
That's a lot of energy every day to put it up, take it down.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Try to balance
is
it out.
Is that a real poster from the movie or is that one that was made?
Real poster.
Oh, it's a cool poster.
We made a handful of them, yeah. And, you know, for me, I was like, oh, this could be the last time I'm in a poster.
What?
So let me just put it up.
You're don't do that. Don't do that. You're wonderful.
Positive thoughts.
That's right. I don't go for that.
Now, I want
to be humble.
Yeah.
But be confident.
Yeah.
That you know what you're doing as a comedic actor.
I feel like I do.
And you'll work. It's all about confidence, man. Confidence, but be humble. Be like, I'm lucky if I'm in the heat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I want to ask you this. What was it like, and you can be very candid, for because auditioning for Curb, I went in twice. I think you were there the first time, maybe not the second time.
Yeah, because of the schedules. It was tough.
And
this season, I'm there every day for everything for Curb.
Do you enjoy that?
Yeah.
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 I mean, so I went in the first time for the Uber driver, and look, it was one of those things where, you know, like we talked about, favorite show of all time, very pumped to even be there, and the nerves were running high on the way there, and then when I got there, everything just settled down,
right.
And it was just like you said, it was a very, like, humbling, confident of, like, confidence where
you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I was like, hey, you know, by the way, you got to this moment for a reason.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But also, what is there, if you're auditioning, why should you be nervous? Nervous for what? Nothing bad can happen to you.
Yeah.
Either you get the part or you don't.
Yeah.
So you might as well, when you're auditioning for anything, do it with joy.
Yeah.
Because there's, you either get the part or you don't. So yeah. What are you nervous about that you'll fail? And guess what? You probably will fail.
Yeah.
You probably won't get it. You know, and not because you're good or bad, just because you're not exactly right. It's like the odds are stacked against you.
Yeah.
So have a great time.
Yeah. I did try to let a little of that seep in of like, all right, well, you might not get it, you know, but I wanted it. But how do you meet that with like wanting it so bad, which is what I was letting myself get overtaken with?
Well, by the way, you want it, but, you know, it just, look, here's what it is, man. You got a job to do.
Yeah.
And you got to take what you do seriously.
Yeah.
And don't take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
And if you're wanting it too bad, you're taking yourself seriously.
Yeah.
Is this something that you've learned through, I read somewhere that you started doing transcendental meditation?
I've been doing transcendental meditation for years, but no, that's not.
Okay.
Yes, everything in my life experience has led to me knowing these things,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. But it's really, don't let the ego overcome you.
Yeah.
Just be like, this is what I do, man, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll
do the, see, the great, what I always wanted to do and what I aspire to do is do what I do. And then if I leave an audition or I film something and I've done what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I've done my part.
Yeah, that's what I try to preach. And
you did that on my movie.
Yeah.
You did what you wanted to do, and that was exactly what I wanted you to do.
Cool.
And that's why I hired you, you know? As I recall, did you audition for my movie?
No, you just gave it to me.
All right, that's correct.
Yeah.
Because I knew you could do...
You saw me in something and said, I'm going to put you in this.
No, that's not what happened.
I thought that's what you said.
No. I
showed up to your door with a boombox over my head.
No,
John Cusack style.
No, but the point being is I knew you. I knew what you were capable of.
Right.
I'd seen your work. I'd seen you do stand-up. And I'm like, you can nail this, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll do another one and you'll... do that character yeah. again. I loved it. But it's
But in Curb, so when I walked in, it was like, I remember I made seeing Allison and you were very familiar faces, so that kind of put me at ease.
Allison Jones. Mm-hmm. This is your show. Introduce people.
Yeah.
Don't just say Allison.
Allison cast,
like, I mean, who the fuck is Allison?
40-year-old virgin, knocked up.
She's a top casting director
of all time.
In comedy.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so seeing you guys helped, and then seeing Larry was like, that was the first time, so it was like definitely a starstruck moment, but then like it all went away very quickly. And right. then once we sat down, it was like,
well, he gets to business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you, like, you know,
I made
you,
a joke and he laughed kind of, and it was about knowing Carol Leifer and having mutual friends, and I said, you guys used to date or something, met through J-Date or something, and he laughed and goes, funny, and something like that. Something to acknowledge, like, all right.
Yeah.
And then we sat down and jumped into it, and it was you just kind of—I remember everything kind of going blank in front of me.
Yeah, you got a job to do. That's the way you approached it.
I remember him laughing.
Let me ask you a question:
you guys
did you
laughing.
Get the job?
Yeah.
Okay, so you did the right thing.
Yeah.
You had confidence in your abilities, and you focused on that. You weren't focusing on, while you're doing the scene, you're not thinking to yourself, "Oh, I want this so bad."
No.
That's Larry David behind me, which people do.
And they do they end up saying that out loud? They don't get the job if they do that.
No, but
right?
I can see it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And it's like they're so excited. You know, and it's like, that's all good and fine, but you got to be a, when you go up to bat in a baseball game and the crowd's here and they're cheering for me. No, it's like, what's that pitcher throwing? I've already scouted him. Look how lucky I am. This is the humble part. I play professional baseball. I'm about to go to bat. How great is that? But I know how to do it and I'm here for a reason. And that's where you have to approach everything.
And you just got
to
listen and react.
You're lucky that you get the opportunity, and you just do what you do. What's your skill set, man? And just do it.
How long before it took you to realize these things?
Or get comfortable.
I started stand-up and acting when I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting reasonably good at both, mm-hmm. and figuring it out about 10 years later.
Yeah.
10 years, I'd say. Wouldn't you guys say 10 years is like to start, and then, you know, and then every year from that, more and more, more and more, confidence, 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 and humbleness with the confidence. That combination, you can't lose.
Yeah, when you're in an audition room on the other end for this curb casting, how much will you chime in if you see some, like, let's say somebody doesn't come in as poised and confident as I did?
When people walk in, I make a point of going up and shaking their hand, and I tell them, have the most fun ever. I hope you really enjoy this. Like, I set tone for them.
Yeah.
And then, generally, if they miss the mark by that much, we just let them leave. Because Larry's not... Every room's... Like, if I'm a director and I see something in someone, I will, in fact, give them a note to change something.
Yeah.
But on Curb, Larry wants somebody who really punches him in the face that they're the part, that they're it. He doesn't like you putting a spin or trying to be clever. Somebody recently was very good, but they were a little too clever. He said, they sort of seemed like they were in a Mad TV skit. He didn't say skit. Skit. And he was right, and they didn't get the part. And I knew they could have made the adjustment.
Fuck. But sometimes it comes down to something so small like that, yeah?
Well, it's nuanced, you know? Mm-hmm. But on our show, he's not a big... make adjustment guy. He's like, you do it. Like, if he's going to make an adjustment with somebody, he's going to make it within the first 10 seconds where they're really completely going down the wrong path. He doesn't want to waste his time.
Oh, interesting.
We also don't rehearse. So the only rehearsal we get in any scene is during an audition.
Yeah. So, so they can't do it and they can't vibe and they don't get it, then why try to take them on when it's such the kind of show where you know the kind of quality of people that are going to be going out for these parts. Like, it's like pro sports where it's like, if someone can't do it, all right, next man up.
Or next man up.
Next woman up.
Like, next woman up. Boom. Good night, everybody. But that's show business, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just have the attitude. Work hard to gain the confidence. And then when you got the confidence, you got a job to do and you know how to do it. And always you're lucky to be doing the job. How lucky am I? You know,
Two hit shows? Fuck.
I'm crazy. By the way, exhausted. Didn't like doing them at the same time. Took away a lot of the joy.
Yeah.
But I always knew I was lucky. And I wasn't going to complain.
How do you find that? Are the shows two completely different mindsets? Like,
I don't even think prepping about it. I don't think about it either. I just go.
I mean, like having a script versus not having a script.
I have my process for each.
Yeah.
And I just do it. Don't think about it.
What do you actively try to fit stand up in between there? Or sometimes are you just too busy where you're
I actually
you need to get on stage because.
Now I'm at the Improv every Friday.
That's right.
Yes, in the lab, doing a show with the greatest name of a show ever, which is You'll Probably Get Laid.
Yeah.
Well, they said, what do you want to call it? And that's the first thing I thought of. I thought, what a great title. Let's go. I mean,
because if you're looking down the
set
of shows to see...
By the way, I didn't realize the irony of it's called You'll Probably Get Laid with Jeff Garland. And
Is there a dot, dot, dot?
I didn't intend for that. I intended it to be You'll Probably Get Laid, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with Jeff Garland, you know, whatever. I didn't think about that part.
There's probably some people being like, he just doesn't turn it off.
And I'm going to be starting up again at Flappers on Sunday nights, every Sunday at 7.
Awesome.
Starting in August.
That's a great show. And that's
So I'll be doing an hour on Fridays at the Improv and an hour on Sundays at Flappers. And then once a month I'm at Largo. When does this go up?
Next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So this Friday I'm up at Largo, and John Mulaney's my guest and I'm talking to Larry Charles. I'm interviewing Larry Charles.
Larry Charles from Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah, Seinfeld, Curb, Borat, all these different things.
Wait, is this when I went to the one where you interviewed Larry, is this the...
Yeah, it's the same type of thing. Yeah, yeah.
The podcast that you were doing for a little bit.
Well, no, I stopped doing... I still... It's like a similar format.
Okay, good.
I don't do a podcast...
Because you're so good at that, though. I mean,
thank you. Yeah. I don't do a podcast anymore because I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. I'm filming, you know, I'm doing my stand-up. You know, you guys know...
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment, and you got to record commercials. You got to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. You got to force chemistry between your partner and hopefully candles and a surprise guest does it. Buffett, do you have any best friends that you sometimes feel like, I don't want to do this, but there's something to be gained from it, so I'm going to force myself to do it.
If a mermaid asked me for a favor, I gotta say yes. I don't wanna, but if her siren song is calling to me,
what sort of mermaid mavers?
Mermaid mavers? What?
What
is
sort
that,
of
mer- is that something on the menu at Margaritaville?
What sort of mermaid?
I'll have the fermaid mavers. They're
of
fried.
What sort of mermaid favors are getting?
If she wants tickets in the pit, mermaid,
tickets to the show.
I gotta do a whole thing with a water tank down there.
What was more fun today, Jeff Garlin, riding the ride to Disneyland or talking with Jimmy Buffett?
At all times, talking with Jimmy Buffett. There wasn't a time where I didn't enjoy talking with Jimmy Buffett. And I had some, by the way, today the Haunted Mansion today was fantastic.
Something different about it?
No, you know what it is every time, I go to Disneyland probably once a year,
mm-hmm.
and I love Disneyland, but every time it's a different experience, who you're with on the ride. Today I was on the ride. My friend Mike Carlson and mm-hmm. Jimmy Buffett were in the one in front of me,
yeah.
and I was by myself.
Okay.
And so it just was, I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed it. And I got to the whole beginning, the elevator with the whole thing.
Yeah.
I got to experience that with just Jimmy Buffett and Mike Carlson today.
Oh, wow.
And Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tour guide.
So, are you okay with really big drops and crazy, just the rides that can make you nauseous?
Oh, no, I don't go on them.
Yo.
They went on them all day, and okay. I sit on the bench and I close my eyes and take a quick nap. Sometimes it's a 3-minute nap, sometimes it's a 10-minute nap.
It all goes back to that.
Yeah.
Now, they're really. Have you always been, so no coasters, no crazy, your stomach?
Oh, I hate roller coasters.
Now, because of the fear of falling off or that your stomach can't handle it?
Fear of falling off.
Every year there's a news story published where it's like somebody fell off the Matterhorn, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Well, by the way, I don't even get that far.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even a possibility for me being.
You don't even look at the Matterhorn in the eyes.
By the way, I remember working at a record store. This is in Florida. And one of my coworkers said to me, I had a dream about you last night. She goes, what was it about? Mm-hmm. She goes, you fell off a roller coaster. Now, prior to that, I never went on roller coasters.
Yeah.
Someone has a dream like that.
You're definitely not going on now.
Yeah.
This is
so. I don't go on Space Mountain. I don't go on the Matterhorn. I don't go on the, by the way, even the, I love Pirates of the Caribbean. Even that first Pirates of the Caribbean drop.
Yes.
That one gets to me, but I go through with that one.
That's too much?
No, it's bordering on too much.
Okay.
But roller coasters, no way. Like I would, I've never been is, what's the place up the five?
Quiznos.
Six Flags.
Six Flags.
Why do you do that?
Sorry, man.
All right, Six Flags. Yeah. I've never been to Six Flags. There's nothing that place could offer me.
This is so funny to me.
And we'll never go.
Why?
What are you offering me?
What are you offering me? Nothing. Nothing.
Am I supposed to go and conquer my fears?
I would
off.
Love to sit in my car in the parking lot more than go in and even walk around.
Yeah, I'm laughing so hard at this because the three people sitting at this table right now, two of them hate roller coasters. The person that loves roller coasters is a motherfucker who can't get on half of the damn roller coasters.
Oh, really? Because you're sad?
Yeah, they get this.
No, it's his attitude.
That's really funny.
That's funny.
I don't like women.
That would be,
that'd be really funny. His Me Too thing is they won't let him on rides anymore.
Yeah.
No, so really, that's right, the height.
Yeah, I can
because you can fly out of it? Is that the premise?
That's what they think.
No, I'm saying I can't understand another reason why.
Which, if you have the chance for a dwarf to fly across the sky at your theme park.
That's great marketing.
I think you do that.
You
I think you roll that dice.
Ride.
Yeah, exactly.
As much as you're making a joke. I don't think you do that. No one wants to see, at least no one of sound mind, unless they're sleeping in boxes, wants to see a little person fly. Is that appropriate, little person?
Yes.
Wait. No one wants to see a little person fly or fly out of a roller coaster?
Fly out of a roller coaster.
Because if Brad one day goes, I'll see you later, and goes and starts flapping his wings, and I go, what about your car?
Hold on. You've ruined the effect.
Rocket pack?
No. I'd like to see him just fly, like a superhero.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see him have wings.
I already look weird enough, Adam. Now you're going to put wings on me?
That's crazy.
I got a big ass and a Peyton Manning forehead. Now you want me to.
This must be the attitude that got you denied at the roller coaster.
Jimmy, have you ever been so high that you felt you were flying or you thought you saw something flying?
One time I was in a pelican's beak flying. And I'll tell you, I ain't never been higher than that.
What was the name of the pelican?
It was Jimmy.
Jimmy the Pelican.
It was one of my Margaritaville brand pelicans.
You sell your own pelicans?
Hell yeah, I do. I got a zoo where you can buy stuff.
Sweet Lord. Oh.
You know what? I love you, Jeff Garland, but I may love the fact that you have Jimmy Buffett here a little
more. Why wouldn't you? I'm with you.
Wait,
yeah. I'm with you.
Are you really, you said it on Conan, have pot has become a new part of your life.
It's an important part of my life because I have trouble sleeping.
Me too.
Because of anxiety and disappointment and regret. And indica, God's gift to people like me.
I know. If I have a child, I'm naming it indica just to show my appreciation drug.
It's special.
Had you been against it or just never allowed it to be?
Against it. I always voted for it, even when I wasn't smoking it. I was like, this is ridiculous. But I was doing The View, and Whoopi Goldberg, I was telling her about my problems on the air, and afterwards she took me into her dressing room and gave me a vape pen, an indica vape pen.
And when she goes, Whoopi Goldberg tells you to get high, I think you have to listen at that point.
Oh, it's interesting, certainly.
By the way, that it doesn't get cooler as an intro into the world of pot than Whoopi Goldberg being like, hit this, you know?
That is her voice, and she didn't say it like that, hit this. She didn't turn to a bebop jazz musician. She said, she explained to me.
She's so cool.
She gave me numbers of places in here to call, places to get it, to get my medical card. Like, she set me on my way, and I owe her.
So she's a big advocate for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I am too, but I'm not going to get crazy about, I got other things to talk about.
Did you guys smoke together? Did you get high with Whoopi?
No.
Getting high with Whoopi could be the new Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, I feel like.
By the way,
just pulls guests into the dressing room.
No, not. Well, first off, you don't want to get high near The View. But yeah, that's actually a good idea for her.
Getting high with Whoopi?
But she's probably already thought of it.
Maybe you do it in a hot air balloon, so it's a play on words.
Oh, dear God. You know what I wish you'd do? Stop trying to be funny.
I don't know what I like more, Adam when he's funny or Adam disappointing Jeff Garland.
Another great show title.
By the way, I love when Adam's funny. Adam, don't try. Just be sincere.
All right. All right. Now,
I don't see Brad going off the rails.
Well, I mean, I haven't had an indica yet.
Indica that makes you more on the rails.
Brad can't smoke a ton of pot because he's had some bad health experiences.
Yeah.
Seriously, though?
Wait, is that true?
On the edible, you...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, edibles, stay away!
Yeah.
I don't touch edibles.
I've never seen someone get more passionate about anything.
No, because you don't know...
Yeah. How much is cooked into it.
How much is cooked into it. It's like such a... By the way, if you're going to ever do edibles, do the smallest amount possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the next time, do a little bit
break
more.
Break that in half.
If it doesn't work. Yes!
Yeah.
I once tap danced on my patio because for 15 minutes because in my head I go, if you don't stop tap dancing, your heart's going to explode. For about 15 minutes.
That's a crazy edible.
Yeah. And across the way in my apartment complex, after about 8 of the 15 minutes, somebody just goes, are you okay? So they watch me step ball change for 8 minutes before
that's
they decided
crazy.
This guy's not rehearsing for something.
Well, no, I mean, I would wait a few minutes.
Yeah. But it's too much of a gamble.
Yeah.
The indica, you can control the...
No, I like smoking a joint, and they sell pre-rolled joints.
There you go.
I like a vape when I travel,
Do you have to get high before you get on a plane?
No.
Why is that?
I don't need to. Although I flew to my last edible experience.
Okay.
I knew I couldn't smoke the vape on the plane. I wasn't going to get high before. Where am I going to do it in the airport? So I bought some edibles. Now, I don't eat sugar. So I bought like some Dorito-style edibles.
Okay.
Okay? And they said, they're indica. Well, they turned out to be sativa.
Which is, that puts you down?
That knocks you up.
Oh, that brings you up.
And
okay.
It's sort of, for me, because a guy who doesn't do drugs, that's equivalent of acid, man. Mm-hmm. And I had nightmares on the flight, and I was just, head was spinning. It was...
Flightmares?
Really?
Sorry, man.
What overtakes you?
I just got back from Hawaii.
Got back from Disneyland. Listen.
My brain, the time changes
stop
fuck my brain.
Quipping. Stop quipping. Someone's calling me. Let me see.
Time changes fuck with my brain. Jimmy, did you think that was funny?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm on my phone making a deal to put a Chili's out of business.
Hey, how you doing? No, I'm...
Brad, you would have said
not
that.
Not at all. Dude, I don't know where Duke is. You never called me. I am at one of your favorite comedians' podcasts.
Patton Oswalt?
No, he's in The Heat. What handsome man is
Michael McDonald?
Yeah, she says hi. Oh. Yeah. Okay, find out what's going on. I haven't heard from him. Bye. Yeah, she's looking for my son. But, you know, she loves Adam so much. Yep, no, nothing for my son. Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone in. I used to go into audition for stuff for her since when I started.
Yeah, no, she... By the way, I learned about you from Marla.
For real?
Oh, my God. She's the first one who told me about you before I ever met you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, she's like, I love this guy.
I went in for so many things for it that got callback and callback for more and more and then just would lose out to name. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, that's the thing with Brad Morris, and I say the same thing to you, okay? And that is you get in this point in your career where you work a ton and you... It's almost like you're every day you're juggling, but you keep being handed balls. But no one's like, here's one big ball.
Yeah.
Hold this and go. Like, there's no, you haven't gotten the one big thing yet.
Yeah.
The one TV show, the one movie, the one thing that's like, yeah, daddy-o. And it's going to come. I know that because I juggled for years.
Really?
Especially if it's called Yeah, Daddy-O, starring Adam Ray.
By the way, that would be great.
Yeah, Daddy-O.
How many? At what point did you decide, though, like, oh, maybe I'm just not going to, which I'm not saying that this is how I'm thinking, but because I'm, you know, getting balls and juggling them. Just did something with Paul Feig for his pilot and couldn't have had more fun doing just a day job on the pilot.
Right.
But walking away being like, I needed that day as like a booster to just be like, to crush it that hard in front of so many people and Paul and be like, oh, yeah, like this is not that I was questioning what I was doing, but needing a ball bigger. Like, how do you balance out being like, oh, well, maybe I'll just get these little balls for a while.
No, hold on. No, it's not even that.
Yeah.
You just do whatever
just keep doing
you
it.
Do. Just keep doing what you're doing. And
keep delivering.
Only worry about being great.
Yeah.
Not good. Good's not good enough.
No, it's not.
In show business. Worry about being great. Just every day, every job, whatever you do, if you're going to write that day, just write and do the best you can. And that's all you can do. And then the rest of it, it just happens.
Was there a moment in your career where you thought like, okay, here we go. This is the break. This is the thing.
No. Never. As a matter of fact, I remember having a conversation with Jon Stewart about that. Like, when did you, you know, there's never that big, what's your big break? When did, like, you don't even remember like that. And I actually remember moments where I thought, I'm never going to make it. Or like feeling down, but I didn't let that overcome me. Here's the thing. Perseverance in show business is not going nuts when no one is saying your name. When nothing is going on, don't go nuts. Just keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. They will say your name.
I mean, look at your co-star in The Goldbergs, Brian Callen, just got picked up.
Oh, wait, did it get bigger for the fall season?
He posted about it today, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
The high school one?
Yeah,
I mean, the
spinoff.
Spinoff?
Yeah.
Because it did great in the time slot.
Yeah, I guess they put it.
Oh, good. I'll see him in New York at the upfronts. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah. Talk about a guy that's just...
He's been at it for years.
And funny
got
a
lot of little balls in the air. And now he's getting his big ball.
That's it. Because you get to a point, you know, but I had moments like even in the middle of having lots of balls where there were no balls. Like where I didn't work at all. Mm-hmm. And my wife had to cast in order for us to survive. So you just keep pushing forward, keep pushing forward. That's such great news. So him and Tim Meadows, look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how great does that have to make someone like Adam Goldberg feel to now know he's launching like two different shows?
He's passionate about it, so that's very exciting.
Is it strange playing someone who actually existed and is so obviously close to the creator of the show?
Like, no, because I don't think about it.
You don't think about like, oh,
like people say, look, the guy was dead before I even started the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen video of him, but I didn't take that into consideration. You don't do that. You just do what you do.
You don't even think about
it. I'm not a skilled enough actor to no, it's true, to play this guy exactly the way he is. No, I don't do that. I just do what I do. You want somebody to do that, you got to have a different type of actor.
Well, and that's not who they hired. They hired Jeff Garlin.
Yes.
So,
to play the father.
Yes.
It's the curmudgeon-y sign of me, side of me, you know.
What about over 100 episodes? You think about that? That's crazy.
Yeah, we're 100 and, I don't even know, a lot.
Fuck.
Yeah, we're going into our sixth season. And Curb this year crosses 100 episodes.
What?
Yeah, so I have two TV series that have gone past 100. That's, I'm incredibly...
You're in the Ted Danson Club.
No one is in the Ted... And by the way, speaking of that, Ted Danson's on one of my 100-episode shows. He's a regular
he's
on Curb.
Yep,
he's
so
past two seasons, he's like a regular... And by the way, people ask me, who's my favorite person to ever work with? Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, Ted Danson. Hey, Jimmy, have you ever worked with Ted Danson or come across him?
No, I don't want to either.
Why not?
Does he play a conch shell or a steel drum?
He does not play a steel drum.
Right, no.
Then no. Hell no.
What if he learned?
If he learned, hell yeah. Why not?
But that's probably going to be at least a six-week conch course.
Oh, yeah. You got to at least be playing for 3 weeks before you join my band. It's got to sound good. It's got to sound too good when the guy's been drinking all day.
What? Do you have a favorite episode of Curb?
What?
Do you watch TV? I should have started with that.
I just got one TV channel, and it's just a loop of a guy counting money all day. It calms me down after the end of a hard day. Money being sorted. I love it.
There's so many celebrities that when you see them together, they're like, I had no idea that they would hang out, and you guys are definitely two of those celebrities.
Wait, what is it about Ted Danson that, because he's been,
he's the most,
four shows where he's a regular star?
He's full of joy.
How does he work that long and
so
much?
He's so talented.
And he loves it still.
And he loves it, and you can feel it. He's everything you want. Me as a man... I want to be like him. I want to be like him. I want to be like Bryan Cranston, who did the show last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be around these people that you want to emulate, like that I look at and go, man, if I could be like that. Hmm. And Ted Danson's one of those people.
Does he break?
Yeah, but not really. I mean, he's his skill level's pretty gosh darn high.
The episode with him and Larry and the anonymous donor is
maybe
one of the greatest episodes. I mean, look, we could go down a rabbit hole of this is the greatest
premise
episode.
Of Ted is okay with saying he did it.
Yes,
and Larry's anonymous and he's furious.
Yes,
that Ted said it.
And the playfulness with him and Cheryl and you being like, what's all this touching and like?
It's great.
Just so, and then Cheryl ratting or Ted telling her that you're the one that jerked off in the house.
Yes.
And then Susie banning Larry from the house.
Yes.
She banned my husband, which is such a great thing because she's always so anti. It's like for her, she's always still got your back.
Yeah.
So finding out that Cheryl banned Larry, well, then fuck you. You banned my husband to get the. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
I'm telling you lines that you said.
It's all right. I enjoy it. It's good.
I heard a story about you, and I have to know if this is true.
Yes.
I heard you in an interview say one time that you lost your virginity to a heckler.
I lost my virginity to a heckler on South Beach in 1982.
I love that this is true.
Yes, in a lifeguard stand.
Wow.
So I was doing
penthouse form right here.
I was doing a show on South Beach, and back then South Beach was there were two like bar nightclub places, the Carlisle and the Cardoza, and there was a comedy club in the Victor Hotel.
Okay.
The top part was there were no you couldn't go in the hotel rooms, but the bottom was a beautiful Art Deco comedy club, And I'm 20 years old. I just started in comedy, and South Beach is filled with Cuban refugees, artists, and old Jews. No, that's the mixture.
So which one of these did you lose your virginity to?
Actually, none of the above.
Damn.
No, that's what
I was
what
hoping
I'm
old you.
That was the scene I'm saying.
Okay, okay.
So I'm on stage, and there's a woman just hecking, yelling at me that I stink and this, that, and the other thing. And by the way, I did stink.
What was 20-year-old Garland talking about?
I was an MC. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
You know? And afterwards, I went down to the Carlisle, and... some guy comes up and he says, my friend wants to buy you a drink. And I go, I don't really drink. Mm-hmm. He goes, what can he buy you? Should he buy you something? I go, ginger ale? He goes, she's going to come over and bring it to you. So the heckler woman, very attractive, comes over and brings me a ginger ale. I say, I really don't thank you, but I'm just not interested in talking to you. Mm-hmm. She says, please come out in front. I want to apologize. I was terribly wrong. We go out in front and she grabs me and kisses me. Literally grabs me and kisses me. And I was like, all right, that's a good apology. And then she starts running on the beach, ripping off her clothes, yelling, follow me, follow me. I followed her, but I kept my clothes together. I didn't want to have to gather them. She ran up. She's naked in a lifeguard stand. I go up in the lifeguard stand. I'm completely clothed. I take off my clothes, yeah. And being the good Jewish boy, I folded my clothes.
Jesus Christ.
And I remember thinking when my wiener went in, it's like, oh, it's over. I'm not a virgin. And then...
Did you please tell me you said that out loud?
No, just thought it.
Jimmy Buffett, what was the first thing you said when you lost your virginity?
Fins up.
Why did I feel like that's what you were going to say?
Oh, it's perfect.
Of course you did.
And where was it? It wasn't. Yeah. Can you top lifeguard stand as a location best?
It was in an inactive volcano.
Jesus Christ. All right.
That's the movie Joe versus Volcano should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
Wait, so, well, that's so a anyhow, great story.
Yeah, and then, by the way, to follow up, there's more details.
Please.
But no, I don't want to.
Okay.
But no, at the end, she said, you know, you're really sweet. I'd love to see you again. She gave me her number. Mm. And she said, I'm an attorney here in Miami. And oh, she's got a job. You know, how about that? And then she told me she was 30. Mm. And I kept my composure. But on the way home, I threw the number out the window. I was like, I'm not hooking up with a 30-year-old. And I'm happy to have lost my virginity. But I'm not going with an old lady.
Thanks for the fun, Toots. But,
yeah, but you're too old. 30? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but when you're 20 years old.
It seems like a million. Yeah.
By the way, that seems a million years she's living her best life, by the way. Stripping off clothes, running on the beach at 30.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
dear
and
God.
An attorney.
An attorney, yeah.
Sounds like a dream gal.
Yeah, helping a young crappy comedian lose his virginity. But that is, I am a real comedian. I lost my virginity.
Now, what was better, that or your bar mitzvah?
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Because my bar mitzvah, I remember, it was at Inverary in Fort Lauderdale. And I remember, all I remember is being photographed. Like the smile, mm-hmm. Like I look at my bar mitzvah album and that's my memory. Like the kids would be doing things and I was taking a picture. I was taking a picture. All I remember is having pictures taken.
Jimmy, do you remember your bar mitzvah?
Were you bar mitzvah?
Well, no, it was a different type of ceremony with a lot of sea life and I can't really get into what the religion is.
Is it a Margaritaville religion?
It's a Margaritaville religion. Yeah, I didn't want to tell you, but yeah, I got my own.
How is being a dad at this stage in the game? I know you're, which is your son that was on the set of Handsome?
James.
Even Kirby. Yeah.
He's 22. Yeah. He turned 22 last month. And
such
Duke,
a dope
my
kid.
Younger son is 18. So my kids are 18 and 22. And I'm madly in love with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They adore you.
I hope so. It seems like it. They let me kiss him and hug him as much as I want. And I respect them. I think that's one of the key things. I don't let them do whatever they want to do.
Well, I was gonna say,
but I have great respect for them, and I try and give them the respect, but sometimes it's difficult.
It's James that was on set for Handsome, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you were very assertive about like being encouraging, but also very being a straight shooter about if he was doing something wrong or taking a moment to be like, this is something you should be thinking about in terms of what's in regards to what's happening around
you. Yes. But remember also, I'm his dad.
Well, you could see that relationship too, where him being like, all right, man.
Yeah, like so me telling him something, he's like, what does this guy know?
Yeah.
I'm, you know, your dad, you know, someday I know because certainly every boy goes through this. You look at your dad with respect, but right now, come on, man. They don't.
These are the prime years to
be
like, yeah, I know more than you, Dad.
Yeah.
Especially in this type of world.
Well, by the way, James more than Duke, the older one, really knows way more than me.
Do they think it's crazy you're not on Twitter?
No, they respect that.
Good.
Because not being on Twitter, you know, it's not if, it's when I'm going to say something that I regret.
Sure.
So I just like Instagram where I don't regret pictures. And if I do, I just delete them. But I love it. I put out a couple today from Disneyland. Jimmy Buffett is not in them. He asked me not to put them up.
Jimmy, why don't you like being photographed?
A photograph costs somebody $20,000 if you want to put it on an Instagram. I charge.
He charges.
I'm running this for my health. Okay. I make money here.
Is there... Jimmy, are you a father?
Oh, hell yeah. Each restaurant is like one of my children. I have over 150 children worldwide.
What kind of advice do you give them?
Oh, I say stay open. Make money.
Be fun.
Be fun. They all respect me. Thanks. I kiss each one.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Jeff, is there a place you're looking to travel to do comedy anytime soon?
No.
And just doing more stand-up like you are?
No, I did it in London over Christmas, which was really fun.
And you also went to a Chelsea game.
I went to a Chelsea game when I was there. Yeah.
Now, because you're a historically famous Cubs fan.
Love the Cubs, yes.
And lifelong, not just in the last 2 years.
Right, yeah, lifelong.
You haven't been on the podcast since they won the World Series, by the
way. No,
I
have not.
Yeah.
It was before the World
Series. It might have been that season, actually, when you were on.
Might have been.
I think so.
That's, I mean, can you at least just...
Where were you when they won, first
I was
of all?
In, well, for...
Because I was there.
I was at games 3, 4, and 5.
Wow.
Which were the ones in Wrigley Field.
Okay.
Even the Cubs in the World Series, I'm not going to Cleveland.
No.
Really?
I'll go to Cleveland $100,000 a day.
Hmm.
I'm kind of like Jimmy Buffett when it comes... By the way, same with Vegas.
Yeah.
My price, if I'm going to go to Vegas, $100,000 a show. You want me to do a show? You tell me it's $100,000 and fly me on a private plane? Mm. Oh, I'm happy. Actually, I like the driving.
Yeah.
Driving, that's the best part of Vegas, is the drive.
Really? How do you pass the time on a drive to Vegas?
I'm just chill. I'm listening to some music, you know? And
what about Vegas don't you like?
Everything.
Everything? Yes. Okay.
By the way,
there's a Margaritaville in Vegas.
You walk into a casino. That smell.
I know.
The smell of desperation and poor people and smoke. No, because these are people with their life savings, putting them into...
You're walking by at any given moment somebody who you're watching their life change. You're soaking up that aura.
Going down.
No pun intended. Yeah.
It's not like I'm walking by people winning the jackpot.
No.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing I also know, I learned this a long time ago about any casino, any gambling situation, have a top and a bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how much I'll win. If I win $500 or lose $500, I'm out either way. Right. In between, I'll keep going. Great. Right. There is no bad or good.
Yeah.
And if you can end up with zero at the end of the night, what a successful trip.
Yeah, you just had a lot of fun. And that's it.
But when you think, oh, I can go more, I'm going to win more. No. Oh, I can lose. You're going to lose. It's just, you got to have a top and a bottom. Someone taught me that. And so...
Glenn Close. Is there a...
No, that one wasn't bad.
Okay. Is there, that's the last callback of her. Is there a game that you do enjoy, though, that where you're like,
No. I like napping.
Well, if we can gamble on napping.
If you can gamble on napping, I'm a big bowl of in.
Wait, so what did you love about London doing stand-up there that was so different from out here?
No, for London, they were very enthusiastic. Not the most enthusiastic audiences. They're very reserved.
Mm-hmm.
But... I sold out my shows before I even got to London.
Feels good.
So it was just fun to just go do my shows. They were happy to see me. I did my best. I had some pretty good ones, you know.
Because you're improvising, right? I mean,
See, that's unfortunate for me.
What?
I don't have an act. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I have stories that I'll repeat, you know, and I don't know what I'm going to repeat each show. But without a doubt... The lowest amount of improv that I'll do a show is 60%. Generally, I'd say it falls around 90%. I'm making it up, but
people need to understand that more when they see you too, because it's crazy.
But here's the thing: they really don't. Here's why: I shouldn't get bonus points for that. I should only be really great.
But you are. So then there's you give the bonus points.
Afterwards, if you find out, great, but I don't need the bonus points.
You're not going in. You never say during the show this is
No, great. I do. I just say,
all right, well, then get the bonus points.
I go, you know, but I do it more in a self-depreciating way.
Right.
I say, you know, I'm not going to get funnier than this. Like, I've already hit my, I've got nothing prepared for you.
Hey, you crushed at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness with a hint of jizz.
Yeah, the lotion with a hint of jizz.
Lotion
and by the way,
jizz.
The whole pumpkin thing, I made that up on the ride there.
Ah, fuck.
I want to open up a hypoallergenic pumpkin patch. And then I made up this whole story of me talking to a guy who owns a pumpkin patch. And he says business is good. And I said, well, what if I got into it? He goes, you just got to watch out for the pumpkin fuckers. And I did a whole thing about pumpkin fucking. And it was great fun.
I don't want to knock you, but I feel like, look, I went to one show once. It was a Jimmy Buffett concert where he was improvising in between songs. And he was talking about he used to be a pumpkin fucker. You can maybe speak to this.
Did you ever fuck a pumpkin, Jimmy?
Well, before I go on stage, I have a handler that hands me some talking points about the city. We were in a pumpkin-heavy city.
Pumpkin-heavy city.
Yeah, I said some things. Hell, if I remember what they were. But like in L.A., I would just say like 405 or In-N-Out Burger. Like, I just want to make the locals feel like I know who they are and what they're all about.
He's so good, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're really
cares.
Good. Yeah,
he does.
He's got his handler.
In London, did you do that? Did you try to pick up on some things?
No, yeah, I talked about
like,
that.
Being in the city?
I talked about, you know, some stuff that I was experiencing, but not the general stupid stuff like Jimmy Buffett just said. You know, I just had a good time being in London, mm-hmm. and it was a delight to perform there. But in general, I'm really, you know, like, I've got a hankering to go to Nashville, so I'll make a call and, you know, like, I want to go there, and I go there. But in general, like, or Austin, or, you know, there's certain cities I like, you know, and
yeah.
your hometown I enjoyed. I played...
What'd you do, the Neptune, or...?
No, what's the downtown music nightclub place they do stand-up at?
The Crocodile, or, Triple Door.
Triple Door.
I just did that. Yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Triple Door was fantastic.
Oh, that's a great spot for you.
So I did the Triple Door, and I really enjoyed that. At some point, I'll go back and do the Triple Door. But in general, I like sleeping in my own bed or napping, as I said. I'm so busy filming that I was just in Chicago doing some stand-up. I was in New York doing some stand-up. I don't really want to. I don't need to. I loved it. Look, if I'm doing a couple hours a week here, you know, why do I need to work the road? Because the road for me, I'll do a tour at some point. And when I finally decide to film my comedy special, I will, in fact, go on the road to prepare for that.
And sure. record your sets and try
to... Yeah, I'm working with Matt Edgar. He's helping me develop a set. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Fantastic.
He's great at it.
Talk about a guy. Matt and I started together at the Comedy Store.
Right.
And talk about a guy like that is just so. I mean, we were doing those shitty open mics and waiting for hours and getting bumped at the Comedy Store after waiting for hours.
Right.
And then, but having that community of guys that you kind of went through that with to knock how shitty that was, but be supportive of each other, well, and then get up the next night. And he's grown so much.
He's done. He's doing great.
And he's
but I have that with. See, here's the difference. I have that with famous people.
Yeah.
I have that with Jon Stewart or Conan. Mm-hmm. I just did Conan O'Brien show the other night.
Yeah.
We used to be roommates.
That's fucking
crazy.
Bob Odenkirk, who's filming Better Call Saul. I remember he and I sitting on the steps of Second City, both lamenting that no one liked us or gave a shit about us professionally, you know? And to go through that together, and then one day being on the Sony lot, and there's a big Better Call Saul poster right next to a big Goldberg's poster.
Oh, my.
And so you remember
crazy.
Those dark moments, and you'll have that with these people. And it's delightful, because people are like, how do you know so-and-so? I go, well, we've known each other since we were nothing.
Yeah,
nothing,
you never forget that, right?
Never!
Was Colbert at Second
Colbert
City?
Colbert and I worked
well?
In the box office together.
That's insane. And
we answered phones and took reservations together.
And now you were just on Colbert.
I was on Colbert a while ago. Yeah.
Would you do bits when you worked together? Like,
we talked about it, I think.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. You could just walk out there and, like, now you're hosting a show. I'm on these both shows.
Yeah.
It's a very look at what we've done in this.
But that's
business.
But who's the thing? That's the thing that I, you know. It's really hard. The journey is hard, and it's long, and you just got to enjoy the journey. That's what I'm saying. You get to a point where you like go, oh, I should really enjoy the audition.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be stressful. Yeah. Want it, don't want it. Should be no stress.
Yeah.
Because the end of the day,
the worst possible scenario is I don't get the gig.
Which is the same thing that would have happened if you stayed home.
Or if you do great, and you're just not exactly what they want.
Yeah.
So it's like... You know, have joy. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I do that with my stand-up all the time, man. I just have joy. And that's how I get by improvising a lot, is to be so appreciative of being able to do it.
Oh, during the holiday season, I think it was this past year when we were at the store and you walked up. I think I brought you up as Santa.
Oh, that was a couple years ago.
A couple years ago, okay.
Yeah, but that was an experiment.
I know, but it was great.
I did an experiment. I had just... played Santa, was it on the Goldbergs,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, it was. You had to
and
be.
I said, let me keep the outfit and the beard and everything. So I went up with the hat and the beard at the Comedy Store.
But then dressed below the belt.
But I was Santa as an asshole. I slammed everyone, slammed everything. Sure. I was so mean-spirited. And it kind of worked, kind of didn't, but it was a fun experiment.
It more worked than didn't.
Yeah, but still, it's not something I would do again.
Yeah.
But see,
fun.
I'm taking advantage of, I'm going to go up and do this.
Yeah, sure.
What's the worst that can happen? The audience chants, get him out of here, fuck him.
Right.
And
now,
I leave.
And now they just hate Santa.
No, yeah, that's on them. You're putting it on them to hate Christmas.
No, you know what I mean, though? It's like, why not do that? What's the worst?
Is that what you tell... do you get people in your family or outside of your circle just knowing so many people that are, can you talk to my son or daughter? They're getting into the business. Like,
I hear that from people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my only advice is talk about what you care about and be so good they can't say no. Meaning you get to a point where you just got to be that great that you cannot be denied.
Yeah.
You know, Heather Pasternak opens for me a lot. And I always tell her, "I go up and suck. Go eat it. You're still going to open for me. What's the worst that can happen? You have an experience." Because all your stand-up sets, including mine now, are learning experiences.
Yeah.
Well, if they're learning experiences and you can make them joyful, just do it. Even with a bad crowd, I'll have fun. I won't let them ruin it, you know?
And they're there. People want
to laugh. By the way, I know when I'm not funny. And if I'm not funny and the crowd is great, that hurts me.
Yeah.
And it stays with me on the drive home. But if I go up and I know I got it and I'm feeling funny, damn it, I'm funny. And sometimes an audience can suck. See, Seinfeld and I have disagreed on this, that he feels that it's always your fault. And I say, no, it's not. There are nights where I go up and I'm really cooking. I'm cooking backstage. I'm just cooking. I'm feeling the groove. And I know it. And they just don't groove to me. Whether it's their education. Whether it's their DNA. Whether it's the kind of day they had. Whether it's the weather outside. Don't know.
Maybe they got they got the wrong weed from Whoopi.
Yes, maybe they got the one. But yeah.
Collectively, there can be a group of people sometimes.
They share.
They all came in with just.
But like I said, if they're great and you can feel it, and you just are off your game.
Yeah.
That feeling sucks.
How do you fix that?
Well, I try and have a sense of humor about it when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I make fun of myself. But when I drive home, I'm like, ugh, God. And that's the kind of set that you need to go up on stage again and have a good set to shake off.
Immediately.
For example, last week was at Zany's in Chicago. And I usually, when I play Zany's, I stay out in the suburbs. I do what's it called? Rosemont, okay? Beautiful room. And I grew up learning at the downtown room. And I happened to do two sets. I was going there for the Cubs opener, which, by the way, was snowed out
when
I came home.
So crazy.
So I do two sets.
Cindy and Bert.
Okay, so downtown is a very difficult room.
Yes.
But it's extra difficult if you improvise. And I had really good sets, but there wasn't a time that I wasn't working my ass off. I come back Friday night. This past Friday, I have a set at the Improv. And I got to say, did really good. Not great, but really good. Mm-hmm. Moments of greatness, but in general, really good. And I just felt like, and they were a good audience, I felt like, oh, that's just didn't feel right. Then Saturday night, this past Saturday night, I was at Flappers. First show in, boom. Second show, boom. And then it made me feel better because I was off in Chicago and I was off the Friday at the Improv. So I needed to go on stage someplace where I had the groove. And I did. And I felt great. And I'm coming off that now. I'm still feeling that.
It's sort of the yin and the yang. It's the best feeling because if you crush every night, you just kind of get used to that feeling. But if you have those sets where then it's not as good.
Well, the truth is, though, I don't know if the audiences in Chicago and especially at the Improv even knew that I wasn't doing my best work. Because they didn't know the
difference. Probably not.
You know,
it's probably in your head. Yeah.
I know the nuances.
Sure.
You guys know the nuances of like yeah, they liked me, but I wasn't so great tonight. You know, right. I was okay, you know. And then the next night you're like, and they may not even like you as much, but you're like, oh, I was grooving, you know.
Absolutely.
It's always, it's more, you know. You know, and people who repeatedly see you. I brought a friend with me to the Friday night show, and she was at the first Saturday show. And I told her, and she's like, what are you talking about? That was a great show on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then she saw the first show Saturday. She's like, oh, I completely get what you're talking about. Because yeah. she could feel it, because she experienced both. Mm-hmm. But an audience, one show, they don't know, you know.
Jimmy Buffett, you ever had some shows in front of some bad crowds?
Well, they're all bad crowds. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, but it's all good to me. I've never done a bad show. I've been perfect every night for 45 years.
Amen, sir.
If we smoked weed with Jimmy Buffett, what would be the first thing we would do? Like, what's your go-to stoner activity?
Well, gumbo, probably. Big bowl of gumbo.
Would you go to the farmer's market here in town?
No, hell no. I got on my own farmer's market.
So in your home, you have your own, what's the name of your gumbo?
Margaritaville.
Of course.
Jeff, I love you.
Yeah. I love
Thank you for
too.
Making time.
Both it's, you guys yeah.
I mean,
are
the best.
By the way, it's an honor to be on your show.
Thanks,
an honor.
Too
and
kind.
I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you.
And please ask me. But
we will.
I respect both of you immensely.
Thank
You're
you, sir.
Both funny guys.
Thanks for bringing Jimmy, too.
Yeah, by the way.
Go over but six I, season starts.
Oh, that I don't start filming till August. Doesn't go on till sometime in
okay.
September.
Okay.
Curb, I don't know when it goes on.
Right.
I start filming April 25th. But I don't even know if the Goldbergs have run out this current season.
They no, still on, yeah.
No, I'm saying in terms of new episodes.
Oh, okay.
Still might be coming on. I bet we're in April. Yeah, there's new episodes still.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you're in L.A., go to the Hollywood Improv on Friday nights, and you'll probably get laid with Jeff Garlin.
Yeah, you'll probably get... No, don't say that. You'll see. You'll probably get laid with Jeff Garlin. I can guarantee they won't get laid with me. I'll leave them alone when they're getting laid. They won't be getting laid with me. But I think they'll probably get laid. I do. I really feel that about my audience. That's the respect I show my audience. I think everyone in there will, yeah, you'll probably get laid. Can't guarantee it. I don't call the show You Will Get Laid.
Yeah.
I don't call the show You Might Get Laid.
No,
probably.
Probably.
I think it's probably going to happen. Yeah, every Friday, please.
Thanks, Jeff.
And by the way, you're doing it soon.
Yeah.
When do you want to do it?
When any Friday that I'm in town, I will get your number from Adam, and then we will set that
please.
Up.
Please, yes, because I'd love to
do
it.
You're doing my Comedy Store show tomorrow, right?
I am?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's take a few steps back.
April 17th. How are you going to do? I'll do it if I can do 30.
Hold on.
It's like,
second.
Hell yeah.
Hold on a second. I just want to make sure. Hold on.
But if you're too busy.
No. I'm a big ball of golden.
Yeah.
Because I found myself on a show. I'm at the Improv tomorrow night, and I don't know how I ended up on this particular show.
I just
saw it. So I'm on your. Is your show at the Improv? Or
no,
the
Comedy Store, Main Room, yeah.
What time's it at?
Starts at 8:30.
Oh, I'll be there.
And we're going to put you on later so you can do more time.
Great. So can I go on at like, what time? 9:30? 9:20?
Perfect, yeah.
All right, so I'll see you there at 9:20.
Great.
And oh, that's
you can 11. Check when you're going on there tomorrow. And then let me know, and we'll figure it out. Or is that something?
What's that mean?
You're going on at the
no,
Improv.
I'm saying
okay.
Oh yeah, but no one can see me there tomorrow because it's not coming out till next week.
Yeah, but this is still fun conversation.
It is. All right, so I'm glad you reminded me.
Great. Yeah.
So I will be there tomorrow. I will be there. Great. I'm doing a half hour.
Bringing Jimmy?
What's it? No, Jimmy will not be with me. What are you doing tomorrow night, late night?
Gonna be in St. Bart's.
Good night, everybody.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.